If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
James, welcome to the show. Thank you for sending me this very, very, very good book. And when you say you were a former journalist, tell me a little about yourself before we dive into this book.
Well, hi, Rick. Thanks for having me, by the way.
Oh, no, my pleasure.
I mean, I still consider myself a journalist.
Yeah, it's like being a Marine. Once a journalist, always a journalist, is the way I feel
exactly about
it.
But I kind of went the other way about 7 or 8 years ago and went into the marketing side for a software company. So I do writing, I do interviewing, I do everything that a journalist does, but I'm not in the exact journalism field anymore, other than my book, which came out in November.
But you worked for, among many places, electronic media, Modern Healthcare, Consumer Digest. How did you meet Rob Feeder?
I actually just met him a couple weeks ago. My friend, my former editor from Electronic Media, P.J. Bednarski,
came in.
He was a long time.
Yes. Good old P.J. Yeah, I saw pictures of him. He looked good.
Yeah, he did. So he invited me out, and I met Rob, and we hit it off, and he told me that he knew you, and I thought this would be a good fit. So,
well, it obviously has worked out for both of us, because I will be writing a story about you, too. You have written a book. This is your first book, I have to assume. It is called, you know, the fascinating thing, James, or do you go by James or Jim?
James, yeah.
James. The fascinating thing is if I say the name, and all you people listening out there, if I say the name Carl Switzer, probably nothing comes into your mind. But if I say the name Alfalfa, you are probably awash in memories and the image of that sort of legendary child actor. How did you said years ago, this has been a real labor of love for you, I think. Years ago, you got some kind of press release about him. You were... And what hooked you?
Yeah, so actually it's a Switzer. A lot of people say Switzer, but it's really Switzer. So, I was when I was working under PJ at Electronic Media, I grew up in the 80s watching The Little Rascals on TV, as many kids did for generations,
Sure.
And I got this, and I was always a big fan of comedy. So when I saw a press release about any entertainment television program devoted to Carl Alfalfa Switzer's life, and then it started talking about how he died and how nobody, the other kids weren't fond of him and he was a prankster and all this, so I said to myself, wow, this is really interesting. I don't know anything about his life outside of the fun-loving kid we saw.
Exactly. Well, and that goes to the way most people consume television. You don't know much unless it's Bob Hope or Johnny Carson or something. You don't know much about the backstory, and especially about kid actors. I mean, I could not have told you, and I'm older than you are, so I was not a huge devotee of Mr. Switzer, but I certainly knew who Alfalfa was, for God's sake. And in the book, in your book, you have written and this has taken you a long time. Were you intrigued initially and then put it away for a while? I get the feeling you did.
Well, what happened was after I had them send me a VHS tape of the show and they started talking about all the horrible things he had done and how he died, I said, wow, I'd really like to learn more, so I wanted to read a book.
Uh-huh.
I did what anybody else would do, go to the library, and couldn't find one. So I thought at the time maybe I'd write a book about him one day, but, you know, kids happen, and then
life happens.
Kind of put things away. And in 1999, my wife said, you know, you've been talking about writing a biography for a long time. Now's a good time to do it. Now the kids are older. So I looked and I tried to see if there was a book about Alfalfa, and there wasn't.
Nothing. Yeah. And it was not a an easy chore for you, but it has manifested itself in what I consider a remarkable book. It's called Alfalfa, The Rascal You Knew, The Character You Never Knew. I'm on the phone with my new best friend, thanks to Rob Feeder, James Tirani, and we will discuss what it was like to research this. I found one very telling thing in the introduction of the book, where you said that one of your initial phone calls to a source, he said, "Well, what can you? I don't know what you said, but he said, "Well, what can you tell me about this nice guy?" And one of your sources said, "Well, he was a dirty." Figure out why anyone would say that about poor Alfalfa. I'm on the phone with the author of a very compelling book about which I'll write about in the Tribune in the coming weeks. Alfalfa, The Rascal You Knew, The Character You Never Knew. This is not a fun jaunt into the life and antics of a child star. It's a pretty. It's a dark tale. James, were you surprised by that? I mean, I don't know what kind of impression you had of Alfalfa when you dove into this project, but what it must have surprised you. Yes.
Yeah, it seemed that I'd find a surprise every time I turned a corner. I'd find a new lead, or I'd find a new avenue, and I was like, "This can't be real." I mean, nobody could have lived such a life in such a short period of time, but he really did. He had just such an amazing life. He started out at 7 as a basically top of the world guy with the Our Gang series, and then by the time he passed away in 1959.
At 31.
There was a turmoil in his life.
Yes, he died, and I'm not going to give away too much of this now. He died at 31 years of age. He had a very, very, as many child actors do, a very, very hard time transitioning to real movies. He was, however, I mean, he was in Going My Way, he was in Pat and Mike, he was in It's a Wonderful Life. Were there any relatives around James? I haven't finished the book yet, I will admit that. Did he have any relatives still alive?
His son is alive. I wasn't able to connect with him, unfortunately. But when I talked to PBS earlier this year, they actually got his son as part of the story, which I was surprised because his son has kind of distanced himself from the whole thing and really hasn't done a lot of interviews. But he was also 3 years old when his dad died. So
how long did you? What was the research like? I have to. Because you're diving into a subject about which no one has ever written a book, and probably very few people have written anything, it's kind of you become kind of a detective, do you not?
Absolutely. I mean, I've never been a crime reporter before,
yeah.
And I've never done Freedom of Information Act requests before, and it had to be done. Once you get started on something like this, you have to complete it, and you have to be as thorough as possible. And my job as a journalist was to not make it sensationalized, because I think his life has already been sensationalized a lot.
Sure.
And I wanted to get to the facts. I wanted to figure out why things happened, because I feel like you were saying earlier, he's very polarizing.
Yeah.
Some people absolutely loved being with him. He was so much fun. Some people absolutely hated being with him. There's no question about it. But I wanted to find out why, and that's kind of why this journey started, was to get to the why.
Did at any point did your wife say, "Hey, what are you doing? You're driving yourself nuts. Why don't you get an easier topic here?" Because there must have been, you know, roadblocks set up, not intentionally, of course, but difficulties and frustrations for you, yes?
Absolutely. I would say before I signed with the publisher, I was kind of doing things at my own time, my
sure,
own pace.
Sure, no deadline,
and,
yeah.
And that was intentional because I didn't want to be rushed. I wanted to tell the story the way it needed to be told. And then when I signed with the publisher, you get a deadline.
Yes. Hey, let me ask you about that too, James. Was it difficult? You're a first time author. You are pitching a book about a person that many people would think is not worthy because, you know, child actor and Alfalfa Was it difficult to get a publisher interested?
I didn't reach out to a ton of publishers. I actually got very lucky because the person, Ben Omart from Bear Manor Media, does a lot of old biographies about Hollywood stars, and he actually, in his catalog, has a book about buckwheat. So I didn't realize that at the time,
sure,
but it was like a perfect fit. He's like, I need alfalfa to go with my buckwheat in the catalog.
Did your publisher, did he know? I have the feeling that very few people, beside yourself, and now because of the book, had any idea. He was 31 years old when he died, and
yes,
nothing ever written about him. Very few people had any grasp of the intricacies and the dark sides and the polarization of this character, did they? It must have come as a surprise to your publisher.
Yeah, I mean, there's a group on Facebook, Echo in the Valley, where there's diehard alfalfa fans on there, and they kind of knew the story, and they've been trying for years and years and years to get someone to write a book, because there's only one side of the story that's really been told all these years, and there's, as you see throughout the book, there's a lot more to the story than what you actually hear and there and hearsay and things like that.
No question. Was it once you sat down to begin writing, was it difficult because you were dealing with, I'm not making light of this at all, you're dealing with a very complicated young man who died at 31, who's still a young man in my viewpoint. What was the writing like? Was it tough?
It was really tough.
Yeah,
the hard part for me was trying to figure out how to tell the story properly. And really the thing that struck me the most, and I talk about this in the first chapter,
mm-hmm,
was 1940. Because to me, going into this, I thought 1940, it was like, he was out of the R gang and he was feeling lost because he was part of this group for so long. But what I experienced, or what I learned during my research, is 1940 was actually pivotal because it was almost a release too.
Sure.
He was kind of trapped in there, and a lot of stuff happened between 1935 and 1940 that really kind of caused him to become who he was later in life.
Oh, it is. I mean, so far, and I will admit, I just started reading it. I'm about halfway through, and I find it absolutely fascinating. I also find you to be a fine, fine writer, my friend, and it goes without saying that you're a good reporter, too. What's been the reaction so far to the book? When was it published?
It was published in November of last year.
Mm-hmm.
The reaction has been fantastic. It's funny, there's a group of people on Facebook and another chat. It's about it's actually about Spanky, and somebody had posted the picture of Alfalfa from the Barber Seville. And there's so many people on there who are talking about, oh, he was a nasty kid, and oh, he got what he deserved
shot
to the face. And I kind of got into it, and I'm like, he was a 10-year-old kid getting hit in the face with these heavy sponges while he's trying to sing, and you're applauding that? I don't understand it.
When you come out of this book, you obviously, and I think I'm not inaccurate saying this, you know more about this young man than anybody on this planet. What are your feelings about him? Apart from the book and apart from being his official biographer, you like the guy?
That's a tough question to
answer.
I feel like there's more. He's not as bad as people make him out to be. He did some really good things, like as a kid trying to raise money for orphans.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
Christmas was big in his life, and he loved to give presents to people, and his family seemed to love him, even though there was controversy there. So I feel like he's kind of polarizing, and whether or not I could be friends with him, I don't know. But I sort of feel like as his biographer, I have to stick to the facts. And
yes, exactly. I found it, it's for someone who is in these sort of buoyant, lively films, it's a minor tragedy, this guy's life, I think. And you will read that when you have you done speaking. Have you gone out and spoken about this? Alfalfa, the rascal you knew, the character you never knew? Because I find it for certain people of a certain age, Alfalfa is identifiable as the Lone Ranger or somebody, you know?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I've done some. I was at the Columbus Moving Picture Show Memorial Day weekend, talking there. That was a lot of fun. I'm talking to the local Laurel and Hardy chapter of their fan club, the Chicago Bacon Grabbers, in a couple weeks, so that should be a lot of fun. And then I have a event in November at a retirement community, so there's stuff cooking.
Well, I think, and I hope this book, you're a fine writer, and I hope this book has empowered you to tackle something else. I don't know if it would be as difficult a biography as you might be able to find, because this one was difficult. I'm not giving away any secrets, but you can look, ladies and gentlemen, in your Chicago Tribune in a Sunday not too far away for a lengthier kind of discussion of the book and about James Tirani. What does your wife think of the book?
Oh, she's so happy for me. I mean, it's just, it's really great, the support she and my kids have given me and my whole family and friends. And there's a whole community of people who've been waiting for this story for a long time, and they're happy the story's finally out there. And like I said, my job was to tell it as accurately as possible. Yeah. And it's not easy to go back to 1935, 1940 and get firsthand perspective, but I was able to get some of that.
It shows in a way, James Tirani, it shows the effect that this guy had on people. You know, talking about memories that are 65 years old, and they seem, in what I've read so far, very, very fresh, pro and con. Well, I want to thank Rob Feeder for introducing us, and I will be in touch. I'm certainly going to write about this, and it's a pleasure to read, and it's a pleasure to talk to you. And we will talk again before I write this story, because that's what I have to do. I have to re-interview people too. James, it's a pleasure to meet you, and congratulations with Alfalfa, the rascal you knew, the character you never knew, and that you can put a punctuation mark at the end of that. So take care.